Take care, Jesus warns. Warns the person asking him to be concerned about inheritance and personal finances. Take care not to be focused on possessions, and perhaps even more important, take care not to equate the number of possessions you have or the amount of money you have with God's concern and love for you. To do so would put you on that slippery slope of bad theology known as the prosperity gospel. I'm going to get into some fairly intense matters with you today. We're into our third week together. Are you ready? Because we're talking about money and possessions. This is a little bit of a stewardship sermon. There's a little Good Friday in it, but there's a lot of Easter. So it's going to be okay. Stewardship is about our entire life with God, the ways in which we are stewards of ourselves and everything we have. Our time, our talents, and our money. Did you notice I did not use the word treasure? Time, talent, and treasure. You often hear that grouping of words used during stewardship campaigns in the Episcopal Church. It is biblical, and we've been singing the word, and it's got a lot going for it, but it is a translation, and I don't really like to use the word treasure for a couple of reasons when I'm talking about money. First of all, treasure makes me think of pirates, and then I'm just distracted. Second, we need to talk about money because Jesus did, and he did it a lot. And because issues of money are critical to our ability to be the church, to share the gospel message, and so crucial also to our spiritual growth, both personally and as a community. Today's gospel account challenges those preachers who will tell you that if you are right with God and if you're faithful to God, you will be blessed, and that blessing can be seen in your worldly success and also specifically in your accumulation of wealth. This is a seductive message that fills stadiums, but it is not the message of the Christian faith. A good book to read on this topic, serious but also with a lot of humor, is Karen Spears Zacharias' book entitled, it's kind of a funny title too, Will Jesus Buy Me a Double Wide? Because I need more room for my plasma TV. As a child, Karen Zacharias lived in a trailer. If you're wondering what a double wide is, I mean, I just got here from Winchester. We know what it is up there. But you might not be as familiar. It's a big trailer. She lived in one with her mother and her brother after her father died. In the introduction, she writes, "Proof of God's love is not found in the square footage of our homes. God's love is not even evident in our net worth at all. It's found in the same place it has always been, at the foot of a cross." That's where God's love is found. And I bring this up because over the years I've been greatly saddened to learn of people who no longer come to church or say they can't believe in God anymore because someone in their family died or something went wrong in their life. These are the times when, as Christian community, we want to embrace each other as much as possible. We want to be together, and it's because of that bad theology that people feel abandoned. And I feel for them, I'm not judging that at all, but I judge those who espouse this bad theology that somehow convinced people that God was displeased with them or against them. People having their own personal Good Fridays, and we've had those, our own personal times of tragedy and sadness, suffering. The thing about this prosperity gospel, its biggest problem is that it does not hold up under pressure. It does not have the answer for Good Friday, and it seems to forget that things did not go well for Christ himself in this life. It seems to ignore the fact that in so many ways the spiritual life is really about letting go. And that one day we will all let go completely. We will all leave this earth. And like the man in the parable, we're going to leave all of our possessions behind. Take care, Jesus says. Remember that one's life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. In fact, it has been said that the things we have in this life are good, beneficial for us, and useful in the ways that they help us connect with each other and with God and serve God and others in this life. If our possessions, our money, if that becomes an idol, we'd actually be better off without those possessions or that money. One important way that we can guard against money becoming an idol is to give it away. That is so counterintuitive. Aren't we all trying to save? I am. But give it away. And I'm not talking about giving it away to the extent that you are destitute or that you can't have your own home or that you can't buy food or medicine. I would never want that. And God, I'm sure, would not want that for you. But it's worth noting that the spiritual practice of giving money away, and it's been historic, 10% of one's income for the work of God in the world is in fact a spiritual practice that makes a difference, a good difference in our own lives and in the lives of others because we're giving it to help others. Sometimes I've known people who say that when they started to tithe, it actually helped them get their finances under control because they had to become more thoughtful, more planning about it. Another thing that's interesting is sometimes I run into people who think that they're the audience in church, right? You guys are not the audience, okay? I've had people refer to the congregation that way. You're not the audience. You're part of this wonderful experiment, in a sense, of God in the world through Christ, creating community. And what we give, we don't actually give it because we're getting something from the church, right? It's not like going to a movie and buying a ticket. And, you know, you're paying for what you got. But it's something much greater, much more exciting, much more important that you and I are God's solution to big, big problems in the world through the power of God working in us, through Christ and the Holy Spirit, that we are here providing resources of ourselves and our time and our money for God's mission on earth. It's incredible. It's amazing. It's a miracle that we are here. Some people actually strive, and you can read about this in that book I mentioned by Zacharias, some people strive to do what's known as the reverse tithe. Think about that for a minute. The reverse tithe, which means that they live on 10% of their income and give 90% away. Wow. Not many people do that or can do that, but it's something worth considering. A question for each of us is, what is God calling me to do with my resources? The answer will be different for each of us given the circumstances of our lives. My prayer suggestion for you this week is to pray about that, to reflect, and maybe look back on your life and how you've used your resources and how you've felt part of God's mission and how you want to be part of that mission now, giving what God is asking of your life. In this way. Think about how God's blessed you as a prayer I like to think about, how God's blessed me, even if it might not look like the world's idea of success. And then how you can be rich toward the God who loves you so much. Rich toward God. What does it mean to be rich towards God? Jesus tells a story to make his point about possessions, about the rich man who produced abundantly. The rich man had so many crops that he needed to build larger barns to hold all his bounty. The man felt safe and secure having so much in storage, so much wealth there waiting for him, even to the point of feeling spiritually prepared, saying to his soul, "Relax. All is well, safe and secure." If we were to tell a parable like this today, We might take an example from a TV show known as Storage Wars. I wonder if any of you have seen that, Storage Wars. It's a little bit like the Antiques Roadshow, taken down a notch, perhaps. This isn't PBS, okay? Sort of made into a reality game show, and people bid on storage units that have been abandoned, and then they see if they've bought anything of value in the storage unit. And they take it to experts, kind of like the Antiques Roadshow. What this show teaches me is that there are many, many abandoned storage units out there. Yeah, and these units are, they're symbolic for me of the human attempt to hold on to life in the form of possessions. But what is our life really about? God challenges the rich man in Jesus' story by calling him a fool for thinking that his life could be made secure through the accumulation of possessions. Rather, that very night he would die and someone else would have his things. If this rich man was foolish regarding his understanding of life and possessions, then what is the wise way to see life and the material world that we live in as spiritual people? Today's gospel account concludes with a wisdom saying, "So it is for those who store up treasures," or resources as I prefer, "store up resources for themselves but are not rich towards God." Again, what can that mean? Well, I have a real world example for you, what it can mean to be rich towards God for us as a community. As made in the announcement at the beginning of the service, we learned very recently that the Caritas program has an urgent need for a church to host families August 31st through September 7th. Now, we had not planned to do this. We had not planned to host Caritas that week, and I'll tell you a little secret. I like to plan. I like it. On the Myers-Briggs, I am what is known as a TJ, an INTJ to be specific, but the TJ part is the part that really likes to plan and to organize and work through a well-defined process. Well, there aren't a lot of TJs in leadership here at Holy Comforter, right? Rather, many of you are FPs, the creative, caring, feeling types. Sometimes not so organized, but very open to new opportunities, often in great ways. Working together, the TJs and the FPs among us can do a lot of good for God, and we can balance each other. In this case, the opportunity to do some really good work in the world to help others was more important than not doing it because it had not been planned. We are being rich toward God by opening ourselves to others. And if you've never done something like this before, we are also, of course, going to be abundantly blessed in doing this. We receive as much, if not more, than we give. But we are being rich toward God, especially in a time of the year when it's going to be a little bit of an effort with this busy school year starting up, all the fall things beginning to come into place. We could have stored away our resources in our barn with a plan to use them at a more convenient time for us. But instead, we decided to be rich towards God now, sensing God's call to us. And that's what it's always about. What is God's call to us at this time? If you've never helped with Caritas before, I encourage you to see if there's something, even a really small something, that you can do to help this effort. This church has been rich towards God many times in its history and will continue to be. You as individuals have been rich towards God too, maybe when you weren't even aware of it, just in how you are, what you do, and who you are being for God in the world. All right, so I promised you Good Friday and stewardship and also Easter. You've gotten some of that. And to conclude, No matter how much we have in money or possessions, one day we'll let it all go. That's the Good Friday. Our life now can be a preparation as we loosen our grip on what might be an idol for us or what holds us. Or we might be forced, and this may have happened already, by circumstances to let go, to have those times of our own personal Good Fridays. But resurrection will surely come. And while we try to hold on to many things, to be safe, to be secure, as we release our grip on things and ultimately life, our hand is open. And God will take our hand, lifting us to new life, the fullness of life in Christ. Amen.